I give it a little bit of space for editing.
You're good.
Oh, come on. You should swing at that. So how's life been the last time you've been on the show?
Interesting.
Interesting segue from baseball to, yeah, how's life?
Life is good. Life is very good. I just came back from Mexico. Did a 10-day trip there.
Nice. And in, like, what city did you go to?
Puerto Vallarta.
Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah. It was first time in Mexico. First time in Puerto Vallarta, and it was absolutely amazing.
That's awesome. So. What, like, did you go get into the city and everything, or did you
stay
there?
Yeah. So we stayed at a villa. It was kind of like a graduation trip for my sister completing college. So we stayed at this really nice villa. It had its own house staff, and like I felt really spoiled. So we had a chef, we had a bartender, we had a housekeeper, and then he called himself a houseman. So he basically just did stuff like cleaning up the outside, backyard, front yard, all that stuff. The backyard had an infinity pool with a hot tub, and there were stairs going down to a public access beach. So you literally, at like 9:30 in the morning on like the first day we were there, I had a beer and I was drinking a Corona in an infinity pool overlooking the Pacific Ocean. It was fantastic.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I was like, wow, this is Mexico. Cool. And we didn't go in town a whole lot. We really stayed in the villa most of the time. We did a couple things. We did a couple nice dinners. We did one day where we just went in and explored, and, you know, we did our quote unquote touristy stuff. But we really just kind of chilled at the villa, and we were really nice to the staff. Like I said, I felt spoiled beyond belief. So I tried to make them do as minimal as possible, 'cause I just felt weird. Like I was like, I felt guilty almost. I was like, oh, this is weird. I don't like having people serve me. I don't like that. But it was cool. We had a really good chef. Like he went to culinary school and everything. He was professionally trained. He was awesome.
Did they like stay like nearby, or like was he like literally on call? You could just
No. So we would tell them basically what hours we wanted them to work and like when they could go home. Like we really tried to take into account, like, so like one guy, the house guy's name was Sergio. We told him like, hey, like we don't need anything. You can go home, go spend time with your family, your wife. And his mother-in-law was actually the housekeeper.
Oh.
Yeah, so she really didn't stay much of the day. She was generally gone by like noon. You know, she just did everyone's beds up, did a quick mopping of the floors, and then she was gone. And like as I say this, I still feel like yeah, rich. Like that's how it's coming off. I'm like, that's not at all how it was. It's just how
the situation.
Yeah, the situation. It was awesome though. We did fishing, like the third or fourth day we were there, and so that was like a 4-hour excursion. Just went along the coast and fished. We caught 5 fish, so all 8 of us went, because it was my family and my cousins, and like our family's been really close since, I mean, my sister and I and our cousins were kids. Their parents and our parents have known each other forever, and well, I mean, obviously, because my mom's cousins with one of them, but all 8 of us went, and 5 of us fished, and we all caught fish, but not big enough to keep, and because the chef had told us, he goes, hey, if you guys catch something big enough, I'll cook it up. And we're like, okay. Didn't catch anything big enough. A little salty about that, but
did
we
it feel like a mission. Like
No. I really just wanted to have a good day on the water. I mean, like the fact that we caught anything, I was thankful for. That was awesome. So we caught 3 mahi-mahi and then 2 bonita, which I guess they use those fish as bait fish for sailfish or like larger fish when you go like deep sea fishing.
Yeah.
Because they're very bloody. And when my uncle caught his, that thing, he wasn't even like holding it wrong. He held it by the gills like you're supposed to and by the tail so we could take a picture. And it started seizing up and just bleeding everywhere. He got blood on his shorts, blood on his feet, on his hands. Ooh. It was wild. I was like, wow, that fish. And it wasn't a big fish. It was like maybe 6 or 7 inches. And it just bled everywhere.
Dang.
I was like, wow. Well, that we just made that fish bait for somebody. We threw it back into the water.
Some other bigger fish is like, oh. Free lunch.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we give somebody lunch that day. But yeah, no, so yeah, we did Mexico for 10 days. Still working with Southwest. I have a girlfriend now. That's a big update from last time. Actually, she and I got together right after our last meeting.
A week later.
No. Yeah, it was like within a month of that, actually, because she and I got together right before the pandemic as well.
So did we record before or after the Super Bowl?
I don't remember. I think it was before the Super Bowl because
I think we were more hyped about football at that point.
I would have to go back and re-listen to that one because I don't remember it. Because she and I started talking because the Niners lost. Because basically she got drunk, went on a dating app, and found me. that's the perfect couple story, right? Because my friends were helping me get back into the dating game. I was a little rusty. Like I'm not gonna hide that. That was a thing. But my one friend, she did the bio for me for the app that my girlfriend found me on, and it said, "I just want someone to look at me the way I look at tacos at 2 a.m. when I'm drunk," and that's what got my girlfriend to swipe. So, hey, it works. Don't knock it, right?
Right.
But yeah, so she and I started talking right after the Super Bowl, and that's when I was in Dallas for training, for Southwest, and then a month later the pandemic hit, and yeah. So I'm still thankful to be working with Southwest. There was a short period of time when we got furlough notices and we were the last like major airline to in the US that is to issue them out or issue like the furlough notices out. But then more grant money came in January and they said, "Okay, never mind, we're not gonna furlough you guys." And I was like, "Oh, sweet." So I got to keep my job.
Nice.
And work is starting to pick back up. The flights are getting full. The workload is getting heavy again. You know, we went from planes that could see anywhere from 145 to 175 people, and they were having 10 people go up with like 2 bags or 5 bags or like 15 bags and 30 people. Now to 175 passengers, 145 passengers, and 100 bags, 200 bags. I think yesterday morning we did like 150 pieces of freight and almost 200 bags in one plane.
Wow.
Yeah. So workload's picking back up. We're not doing as many flights. Like before the pandemic in San Francisco specifically, we had 45 flights a day. And right now we're at about anywhere from like 16 to 19. It kind of fluctuates between the days. But the 19 flights that we have are full. So it's good to see businesses picking back up. I just hope that it can continue to steadily pick back up as things hopefully improve the pandemic. So yeah, not bad.
That's really good. And especially since as of yesterday, everything is open in California.
Yeah, I'm a little sketched still just because we've been in battle mode with, you know, the pandemic the whole time. But yeah. I think it's just going to be a natural transition period. My mom and sister work for Outback Steakhouse. And last night was like one of their first nights of being fully open. And they said it was just weird. Not that it was like super busy. It was just weird. Because, you know, for the past year, we've been used to everything being minimal. But
yeah,
it's not going to change too much for me at the airport because it's an airport, we're still going to have our masks and everything. Like, even when I'm still working on the ground, I'm going to have my mask on, which that's fine. You know, it is what it is. Yeah. I'll do it till it needs to be done. But I don't see it being rescinded from the airports anytime soon. Not until, you know... not until there's a really good grip on COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure that's probably going to come, I don't know, 6-9 months, a year from now. So, I mean, it is what it is. It'll be a thing.
Yeah. No, that's how I feel too. Like with my work with the Giants, we're still required to wear a mask, like do the same protocol as if it's happening. Just the fans get to relax. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool and all. I just hope people still have common sense.
Yeah. That's
no offense to people out there.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah, there's no disrespect to anybody. I mean, everyone's got their own opinions on how this has all gone down. But long as everybody just takes others into consideration, I think that's just the big thing. So, I mean, nobody likes wearing a mask, or maybe some people do. everyone's got their preferences.
It saves me when I forget to like trim a bit.
Yeah,
I'm
well,
like, mask
I'm on. I'm so used to wearing it consistently that like in places where I don't have to wear it. As soon as I go outside, I put my mask on and my friends or my girlfriend or my family would be like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, whoops." Because I'm so used to wearing it so much. So, you know, like being at home, I'll have my mask on me and I walk outside and I put my mask on. My sister's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, wait, what am I doing?" Yeah. And, but then again, I also work at the airport, you know, 5 days a week. So I'm always wearing my mask. But yeah, Southwest has been good. I mean, business is improving. I have been working steadily. I got, like I said, I got to take vacation, and it was paid vacation too, which is nice. Wow. So got 10 days, and then I'm actually planning a family reunion from my dad's side of the family in December that he doesn't know about. Ooh. So he won't be listening to this episode.
In December or something?
No, his birthday is in September.
Oh, okay.
But his family, his side of the family is really scattered across the country. Like his brother and his wife live out in New York. We've got family up in Idaho and then family in Washington and I think North Carolina or Georgia, somewhere out there on the Southeast coast. But I was like, you know, it's been like 10 years since we've seen, almost 10 years since we've seen my uncle. And it's been like 15 years since we've seen our cousins from Idaho. I was like, yeah, I'm going to change that. And so I'm going to surprise him. And depending on how busy the flight schedules are going to be and how full the flights are going to be, I'm going to fly them all down on free flights on Southwest because I can do that. But the way the free flights work is like standby seating. So if there's space open on a flight, you get to fly for free. However, if the space fills up, your reservation gets knocked because you're not a revenue seat. And if it's going to be December, even if it's early December, people are going to be flying. And if the pandemic still keeps improving,
a lot more people
are going to want to be flying. And that means, like, so I already told my family, like, hey, I will fly y'all for free if I can, but have money set aside to buy a ticket to get down here in case I cannot fly you for free. So, but yeah, we're probably going to plan that in early December. We haven't really set dates down yet, but probably about right around September, we'll really solidify things. But yeah, I'm going to try to surprise my father with that. I almost let the cat out of the bag twice already. So hopefully I can keep my mouth shut in front of him.
Don't tell him you're on a show.
Yeah. He won't be listening to this episode anytime soon.
Did he ever listen to your previous episode?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Okay. So, yeah, just don't tell me you ever came back. Like, we were just hanging out here for fun.
Yeah, 100%.
No, but, like, I love how things are slowly getting back to someone over, because you're the second person to be on the show live for the second season.
Sweet.
So it's nice to, like, face-to-face
and
interact. Yeah,
it is nice to start hanging out with friends again. It's just nice to see people again.
It is.
Oh, one last thing to catch up on. We're working on a project together.
It's secretive.
It's a very secretive project. We're working on a project together. We're actually serious about this one. Not the one that we mentioned last year.
If you remember that. Look, things happened.
Things did happen. A pandemic happened, all right?
You can't blame us.
I lost my motivation for things, okay? But in the pandemic,
the show.
In the pandemic, we found motivation and now working on a new project. So... yeah, hopefully
December time too. A lot of things look great.
Yeah,
for December.
December seems to be the month. Well, let's knock on wood for that. But yeah,
all this is metal.
That's okay.
Even fake wood.
We'll knock on imaginary wood and hope that that we didn't curse something. But yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, no, I'm looking very forward to that project.
Me too. I cannot wait. Once that creative ball started rolling for us.
Oh yeah.
It's. The imagination is there.
I mean, I'm just going to say we're a fantastic creative team, okay? Like, we're going to go places.
Next year's show. So, guess what didn't happen?
No.
Knock on wood.
It's going to happen, all right? I'm determined. I'm actually, like, I've got a lot of drive for this one. Like my creative drive, I think a lot of people who have creative sides, you know, people who either have, like, an artistic side, like to draw or like to paint, or like to write, or, you know, anyone who is in that creative, not mindset, that creative world, you get the drive for something and you just lose it. And you and I've done that for years, but I haven't had the drive for, like I've had for this in a long time.
No, I know exactly what you mean. I had the drive to do YouTube stuff and podcasts. I've been doing that, but as for writing, I haven't done that in a while. Yeah. But yeah, no, like for me, someone, like I was telling people, like, yeah, no, I've just been procrastinating my writing lately. Like I come up with ideas, but I just never wrote them. They're like, hey, just give yourself 5 minutes a day. You can only like write a sentence or you can write a paragraph, whatever you want. I'm like, okay, I'm going to start doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I procrastinated 2 days. And then 2 days later, I'm like, okay, 5 minutes, put on a timer. 2 hours later, I was done with an outline.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with our secret project, we were supposed to have a meeting 2 days, 3 days ago, and I totally spaced and forgot to message you. But I told myself, cool, I'm going to go ahead and go do some brainstorming really quick as punishment for forgetting to message Dominic.
That's okay. That's okay. We'll try to figure out something this weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I have three outlines right now. I'm getting that itch.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's nice to have the creative drive back and to keep that drive. Because so often it happens that I get it and then I just lose it. But I haven't had the fire for it like I've had now in a long time, and I'm happy that it's back and that I'm at a point where I have the motivation to stick with it. So I'm looking really forward to it, and hopefully your listeners will be able to experience our project when it's in a final product.
Oh yeah, no, I'm excited. And speaking of fun creative stuff, today we're going to be playing a little game of true or false, basically, where we're going to tell each other stories from our lives where we reminisce, and the other one has to guess if it's a true story or a false story. So we're going to do that. We'll say just to spare time and stuff. First one to 5 points, or we'll see how quickly things go. We'll say okay. Right now, first one to 5 points wins. If it becomes where we can't guess anything, then we'll shorten it. But if we guess really fast, we'll increase it. We'll see. You'll see. You can probably see how long this episode is and be like, I see what they didn't do or did do.
Okay.
So I'll let you go first, unless you want me to go first if you can't think of a story.
You go first.
Okay, I'll go first. Here's a fun little story. This was, I want to say, 2 or 3 years ago. I was in L.A. and got lost. I got lost in L.A. And next thing I knew, I was at this one place, and the person there convinced me to buy a coffin. And that I bought a coffin.
Definitely false.
It is true. I was with Edgar and Derek. We got lost in Universal Studios. We ended up at Voodoo's Donuts, and we bought a coffin full of donuts.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Play on words. All right.
Yeah, no, I didn't lie to you. We did buy a coffin.
Of donuts. Okay, well,
I'll show you the picture after we're done. But it was a pretty big, it wasn't like a full-on coffin, but it was a decent-sized coffin.
Voodoo donuts are phenomenal.
It is.
Yeah. Now you might even want donuts. All right, well.
Me too.
Let's see, about 5 or 6 years ago, I got a Humvee stuck in some mud, and it took 6 hours to get us out of the mud, and it took 4 of that to convince my sergeants that I was stuck in the first place, and that I got stuck not on my lack of driving skills, but the fact that the roads had turned to soup after 6 hours of raining. And we're not talking like a little drizzle, we're talking like a thunderstorm that came rolling through the Rockies and onto the plains of Nebraska and turned everything to soup and mud. And I was going 5 miles an hour and it sucked my truck into the shoulder.
Oh.
And then I had to argue with my flight chief about how I got stuck and it wasn't my fault.
I'm going to say this is true because you sound so passionate about it.
Yeah, it's true.
You want to dig in a little bit more? Was this in Germany?
No, I was in Wyoming.
Oh.
Well, it's when I was stationed in Wyoming. This happened in Nebraska, but yeah.
Dang. Six hours? 4 hours to convince?
It was just a lot of back and forth. And me and my wingman sitting in the truck just listening to the rain pelt the Humvee as we're just waiting to get
was
rescued.
Was it like a moment of disappointment when you realized you were just stuck?
No, it was more of a, well, this is going to take up most of the shift because we were on a 12-hour shift.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, it's going to take up most of the shift. And then like when our flight chief showed up, they almost got stuck trying to rescue us. So they were like, yeah, okay, we believe you. I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought. But yeah.
That's an A's win for anyone wondering what we're watching.
Oh, so sweet.
For some reason, when it comes to anything I do on like my podcast, my Let's Plays, anything, sports will find its way into it.
It's because it's sports and we're Americans and that's like religion to us.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Let's see. Since we're talking about sports, I'm going to think of a sports story.
Okay.
I was in the Bahamas. Me and my family were in the Bahamas celebrating my brother's high school graduation because he always wanted to go there and ride the dolphins and do all that stuff. And we were sitting in a restaurant and I went to go use the restroom. I come out of the restroom, almost run into a man, I'm like, excuse me, pardon me. And we leave. And we leave the restaurant. And we're taking a picture at this like kind of ice cream bench. It was in front of an ice cream shop. It looks like an ice cream bench. And we leave. And then my brother, he's on Instagram. He's looking and he sees that bench and he sees someone who we know from the 49ers, Navarro Bowman, was sitting on that bench. You're like, when did he post that? About an hour ago. Like when we were there an hour ago. And then my head popped. I'm like, I almost bumped into him in the restroom. Would it have been weird to talk to him in the restroom? And then I'm like going a little tangent, but yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That was a say, lot of fun. Because you talked with, you had the emotion behind it too.
I got to be more, less creative, I guess.
I say, yeah, you got to be, you got to get that poker face going.
No, it was crazy. I literally just walked by him in the restroom. I think it worked out the way it did because I would have been like, hey, you're Navarro Bowman while he's peeing. I'm like, this is awkward. I'm going to leave.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely saw Ice Cube boarding one of my flights as I was working it a couple months ago.
You're smiling too much. That's false.
Yeah, that's false. Me talking about poker faces. But we do have celebrities like that consistently fly Southwest out of Oakland.
Really?
So like a lot of sports players or like one of my coworkers who used to work in Oakland said he's seen E40 a couple times. So music artists and sports players and some celebrities who are either Bay Area based or have connections to the Bay will fly Southwest in Oakland. But I smiled too much. Yeah, don't worry. So I'll get you.
I got 2 points. You have 1 point.
All right.
Let's see. Let's think of a story. I'm going to go back to 49ers. Frank Gore stole my pen.
That's true. I remember it's true because you told me because you were salty about it.
Yeah, when it happened. This was back in high school.
This was back in high school because you came into class. I asked how you were. You're like, Frank Gore stole my pen. I remember that. That may have been a while ago, but I remember that.
I wanted to, this was me testing your knowledge. But yeah, I know. For anyone who doesn't know, this was after they beat the Saints.
Yes.
And I got to go in and me and my brother were standing around these gates while the players are walking out of their, not tunnel, but heading into their parking lot. And I was first in line. I managed to get myself first, not in line, but in the group while they were walking out. So Frank Gore walks out of the door. I'm holding out my magazine and my pen that I bought that day because I forgot to bring one from home. And he signs it and he keeps going to just keep signing stuff. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. That's my pen. I paid $5 for that. $5 for a little Sharpie that had a 49ers emblem. That's how you get people to pay a lot of money. You put just a little tiny emblem on it, and boom, it's $5.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, I tried to catch up to him. A security guard pushed me. He's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, he has my pen.
He stole my pen. Did you ever get that pen back?
Yeah, the security guard got it for me. When Frank Gore was done, he was just gave it to a security guard.
I didn't remember if you told me you got it back or not, but I remember that Frank Gore jacked your pen, that's an awesome story.
Yeah, I got it back. Yeah. Man, dang it, Frank Gore. I hope he comes back, though.
Yeah, I would like to see him finish his career in San Francisco. That would be phenomenal.
Because he did an interview recently where he said, yeah, if they call me, I'm signing.
Oh, then someone needs to call him up and pose as Mike Shanahan because it needs to happen.
You mean Kyle?
Or Kyle Shanahan. Yeah.
How would you forget that when you share the same name?
I don't know. I barely remember what I did yesterday. I'm coming off of a really weird schedule, but basically I had 6 hours of sleep between the past 2 days. Ooh. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, depending on what you can remember, tell me a good story.
Do I want to tell a truthful one or do I want to try to jupe you is the real question.
That's up to you.
Or tell a real story that jupes you anyways. All right, hold on.
I just came up with one.
Let me think here.
I got a good story when you're done.
Okay. Okay, I've got one.
Go for it.
So, this may be a little morbid.
Was this when you were working at the...
So, before I enlisted, so from when I was 17 to 19, and then after I enlisted before Southwest, I worked for a transportation company as an independent contractor that transported bodies from mortuaries. And I would basically go to someone's house and have them fill out some paperwork for a mortuary. And we contracted with a whole bunch of mortuaries. And I was entrusted to represent those mortuaries. And I would go to their houses or convalescent homes, retirement homes, hospitals. And I would retrieve deceased individuals and bring them to the mortuaries. So basically anything that was not considered a coroner's case, was released to the mortuaries. The mortuaries would call us. We'd go get a body. And I have many stories from that job, many interesting stories. We had one case where this woman was very distraught as we took her husband, and her family was there to support her. But as we were kind of trying to take the gurney out of the house, she was gripping a little tightly on the canvas covering the gurney. And obviously, she just didn't want her husband to leave. Her family was able to get her off the gurney, and we were able to go out. And we get in the van. Her husband was all loaded up, and we're driving. And not long after we got on the road, and like I'm not kidding, like 30 seconds to 45 seconds after we got on the road, there is someone completely naked running down the street. Happens to be that it was the son-in-law who was taking a shower when we were getting there. And I guess somehow, I don't remember how it happened, but somehow one of his personal belongings was on the deceased, was in the deceased's pocket when we took him, because there was stuff in his pockets. And we said, hey, do you guys want us to remove this stuff, or do you want the mortuary to do it? And the family said, we want the mortuary to do it. So he left the stuff in the guy's pockets, and we took it. And this guy, I guess, got so exasperated about it that he came running down the street trying to chase after us, and he had just got out of the shower.
Couldn't he have just called you guys?
Yeah, but people don't really think straight in those kinds of situations, I guess.
That's fair. That's completely true, though.
Yeah. What's up?
That's completely true, though.
For the story?
Yeah.
No.
No, you monster!
No.
You were so detailed.
But, okay, it's based off of a true story. So the only thing I embellished was the fact that he wasn't naked. Or that he was naked. He was not naked. But he did come running after us. So basically, I guess he had given a specific credit card to his father-in-law, and then his father-in-law died a couple hours later. They called us. We came a couple hours after that, and he forgot that his dad had the card. And I guess it was really important, because he felt the need to come running down the street chasing after us when he could have just got it from the mortuary. But yeah, I have very interesting stories from that time of my life. Mm. That's a great conversation starter. You're like, oh, so what have you done for your past work? Yeah, I moved dead bodies for a living. Wait, what? So that's always a good conversation starter.
You kind of got me there. It started off true, and then it started to big fish on me.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. Well, so we're still tied 2-2, I believe.
Yeah, we're tied.
Cool. So, remember Barry Bonds?
Yes. Who doesn't remember Barry Bonds?
Well, yeah, he hit, it was 754.
He broke the record, that's all I know.
Yeah, I was there that night.
Broke, held, and set the record.
I was there that night.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I was.
That's true.
Nope, I was there two nights before, and I was pissed.
You looked convincing there for a second.
I was ready to smile.
Oh, man, I almost had you on that one, too. I was like, wait a minute. See, because, like, when it comes to sports, it's hard to doubt you because you have seen a lot of cool stuff with sports. So I wanted to say no, but you said it with not just conviction, but I was like, well, if there's no way there's no way that it's not true, because he has those wild sports stories.
Yeah, no, I was there a couple nights before. It was me and my family. We decided to go because we're like, maybe it's this night. Maybe it's tonight. They kept walking him.
Yeah.
I was mad.
Yeah. But yeah, they weren't going to let him get a home run.
No one wanted to be the one to give it up.
No, I wouldn't want to be the pitcher that gave Barry Bonds his home run record. All right. So since you've been doing sports, I'll do sports.
It's all I do.
So for... This will be good for anybody who are sports fans. If you're not a sports fan, I'm sorry. All right. So everybody dreams of going to a baseball game and having like those rare moments you see in the movies that clearly the movies happen every day, but in real life are very rare, right? So like summer 2007 or 2008, it was the LA Angels Anaheim Angels at Oakland. Playing the A's.
Hey, that's what happens today.
And my buddy, oh yeah, that is weird. that they played today.
That is weird.
That's a little suspicious,
that
huh?
That is a little sus.
Huh. It's just like we're playing Among Us. Anyways, so one of my good friends at the time, because you know how sports stadiums will have like Thin Blue Line Day, Little League Day, Cub Scout Day. So it was Little League Day, and my friend's family was originally from Texas. They were all Astros fans, which is kind of ironic now that I think about it. But they just liked watching baseball. So not that they were necessarily A's fans, they wanted to go to the A's game, but my friend's mom didn't want to go, but his stepdad and his little brother and him went, and they offered me to go with them. So I was like, well, yeah, it's the A's. I'll never say no to the A's. So I went, and we had nosebleed seats in the beating hot summer sun. And basically, we were directly in line with home plate, and we were sitting in the outfield seats. Mark Ellis did a really phenomenal job that game, and it ended up going into extra innings. It was tied 9-9. It was like bottom of the 13th inning, and it was like one of those things that seems a little too storybook to be true. It was two strikes, three balls, bases are loaded. Mark Ellis is up to bat, and he hits a grand slam off the left foul pole. Like, if you're looking from home plate, left foul pole to win the game.
I wanted to say true.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. That was, like that. That was my ultimate storybook moment for sports. Like it couldn't have gotten any more, like, cliche than that. Like, it was, like, literally the bases are loaded. Like, this could be the final move. We just need one run. And he ends up hitting not even a home run, a grand slam off of a foul pole to win the game. It was hands down one of my favorite moments in sports I've ever watched. Yeah, it was awesome. I loved it.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
see, you had me a little there because the A's just beat the Angels right now.
It is a little weird, though, that the A's and Angels are playing, and I'm telling a story about the A's and Angels playing.
That's why I thought you were, like, false for a second, because, like, did he just look at the TV and be like,
no,
well,
I'm
going to talk about them?
That's, like, the only real, like, cool moment I've ever had in, like, being at a sports game. So that's the one I always tell. And I guess it just happened to be the same team playing. That's a little weird.
Yeah.
So it's 3-2 now.
So, wait, no, wait, I have the lead. What am I talking about?
Yeah, so you've got the lead.
You know what? Going off of big sports moments that will forever be etched in your mind, I would have say that, like, you remember Alex Smith and Vernon Davis, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I was there on that touchdown zone. I was in the bleachers too, but, like, they were throwing it our way. And, like, seeing it there was just spectacular, and just erupting with the crowd and getting the biggest bear hug from a stranger.
That was the last game of the Candlestick?
No, that was the game against the Saints.
Oh, yeah, that game. No, that's true.
Yeah, also because I said I was at that game losing my pen to Frank Gore. It's the same day.
Yeah, that's true.
God.
So we're tied 3-3 now. Okay. Well, I've got a good one I'm saving for the end, because I think it'll throw you for a loop, but I'm going to come up with, I'm not going to come up with anything. I'm going to tell
the truth. I'm going to come up with this best story that you'll believe.
Now, do you want military, more mortuary stuff? And I promise, like, out of respect to the dead and the audience, I'm not going to be super morbid about it or desensitized, or random.
I'm going with random. Let's see where this
random
leads.
Or let me add another category here. Southwest.
Well, that's recent. Let's go with Southwest.
Okay.
That laugh, never mind. I take it back. Let's go back
to
the military.
Nope, we're going to Southwest. So, and it doesn't matter what airline you're talking about. Every airline has, like, or sorry, it doesn't matter how they operate. Their ground crews, like, there's always going to be those same positions across the board. So you'll have, you know, the guy who does who empties the lavatories on each plane. Like, every airline will have that. So there's a lot of similarities. So it doesn't matter what airline you have, you're going to have guys, neither what's called, like, the bag room or T point, as Southwest calls it, where bags will come off the belt system, and they'll basically be dropped at a carousel where we take those bags and divide them into carts going to various flights. So that's like the inner workings of it. You know, for you as a passenger, bag appears at ticket counter, and then bag magically appears at plane. You don't know how it gets from point A to point B. Just bag goes poof as the passenger. But yeah, so at T point, as we call it, we get these bags coming onto these carousels, and at San Francisco specifically, we have two. But we load them onto carts. So like if you got flights to Vegas, Phoenix, San Diego, Los Angeles, Burbank, whatever, you'll divide the bags up between their by their flights. So like we could have two flights going to Vegas, but there's going to be two carts for Vegas bags, and they're divided up by the flight number. So I'm working T point one day, and I have a very strange piece of luggage come onto the carousel. I'm not kidding. So if you ever look at, if you're ever at like Target or Walmart and you're, or like Costco or Sam's Club and you're shopping for cat litter, you know, the tidy cats and like that, how that has a very distinctive like tub, that tub has a very distinctive look. So it was like that, but it was a different brand. It wasn't cat litter or anything, but it was like that style bucket, but it was a Cracker brand thing. And there were actual crackers inside of this bucket. We could see through the plastic that it was crackers, and it was taped as luggage, and I was, or marked as luggage. And I was like, "There's no way someone would send me crackers as luggage."
How do you get like?
Yeah,
that's definitely true. But like, how?
Yeah, it is true. I don't know. I like to this day.
Someone had to okay
I'm
that.
Still baffled. Like, I was like, "How did this? Why did this get through to us? Like who sends crackers as luggage? I mean, like, we made a joke, like, we're like, that's got to be cocaine. Someone like made cocaine cookies or something. Like, that has to be, that can't be crackers. Like, there's got to be something behind that. But yeah, because like it was like a white bucket or like this big tub, whatever you want to call it, and you could just barely see through, and I swear to God, it was crackers, because it had cracker packaging on the outside. And I was like, there's no way someone checked the thing of crackers as luggage. There's no way.
And it was a big case.
It was more tall than it was wide. Okay. But like, literally, I swear, if you've ever looked at like Tidy Cat's litter containers, that's what it was, but just for crackers.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh. That is indeed interesting.
You'd be surprised what you see. It's always funny when you're putting a bag on to the belt loader to load it into the plane, and the bag starts vibrating because you can't tell. It's one of three things. It's either, you know, a razor, a toothbrush, or adult fun. And it's always funny because it just, everybody gets awkward about it because they always think it's the third one. So you just, you put the bag down and you hear it vibrating. You're like,
toothbrush.
Yeah, but 9 out of 10 times, it's probably a toothbrush or a razor. But yeah, it's just funny.
You put that image in everyone's head now.
Yes, I did.
Toothbrushes.
And I will neither confirm nor deny that I have seen bags, because like sometimes bags will accidentally like burst open and we have to tape them up. And I can neither confirm nor deny if I've seen expletive things come out of bags before.
Hey, you do what you do.
I'm not knocking it.
Yeah, we're not.
People will do what they do, and all the more power to you, because I would be too afraid and too conscious of flying anything remotely similar to that in my bag. So if you do it, good for you.
Yeah.
That's a lot of confidence that I don't have.
Especially in a bag you know that might pop open.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, geez. Okay. I'm going to go back to some wholesome stories.
So we're at 4-3.
4-3.
Yeah. Okay. 4 you, 3 me.
Let's see. So, you know, you've been to the Giants ballpark, right? I'm going back to sports.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's all I got. So, you know how...
Pac-Bell Park, for those of you who...
So, you know how there's the Coca-Cola slide?
Yes.
So, they're usually for kids. But I got to sneak into the slide as an adult a couple years
ago. They don't let adults go on?
Not anymore, because of some drunk idiots.
Oh, well, that, yeah.
But I got special clearance to go down the slide.
Nope.
It is true, because I had to clean it.
What?
I had to clean it. Oh. This is while I was working.
You and your... playing words.
I had to clean it. It was fun at first. I'm like, I'm going down the slide, like holding rags. And then I get to the, like, get halfway. I'm like, oh yeah, I got to clean this.
Yeah. How do you stop yourself? Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, no, but it was good reminiscing, like, because I used to do that a lot as a kid going to Giants game, just going down the slides, and A's don't got that. No, I'm kidding.
Hey.
No, the A's have food trucks, do. Which I love.
And I'm just saying, if you've never been to California and you find yourself in the Bay Area, go to an A's game.
Or a Giants game. Or both.
No.
Do both.
Go to an A's game first, because they have the best taco trucks on the West Coast. And Oakland has arguably some of the best Mexican food trucks find in California.
Oh yeah. No, do that and then go to the Giants.
And then go to the Giants.
And then spend the same amount for just one beer.
Or get garlic fries, because Giants garlic fries are phenomenal.
It's so good. It's so expensive.
It's worth it. All right.
This isn't a story. But if you're ever in Gilroy, they have this amusement park that is literally for like the Gilroy garlic stuff.
Oh yeah.
That's so much fun.
That's right. Gilroy Garlic Festival. All right.
Yeah.
Time for me to...
Remember, you got to think of something good, either true or false, because if I get it, that's game.
I know. Hold on.
Didn't you say you had something up your sleeve?
That's my final one.
This is your final one.
Oh, crap, it is. Okay, all right. Here we go. So, I was stationed in Korea for my second base.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I was there from February of 17 to February of 18.
That's false. It was the 17th. I'm kidding. I don't know your actual dates.
No. I was stationed there from February of 2017 to February 2018. And so I spent a whole year there. So I got to go through Korean holidays, American holidays, overseas. That was a really interesting experience. New Year's was off the chain. So if you ever have anybody who is a friend or family that was military that was stationed in Korea, they're going to tell you that they probably got drunk 90% of the time they were there, because for whatever reason, well, we all know the reasons, but Koreans already like have like a good party culture in Korea, and then you put Americans and American military at that into the mix, and the party culture goes up tenfold. And so everybody always, like, whenever we would hear people got orders to Korea, like, oh, well, he's gonna, or he or she's gonna go party for a year. And that's literally what it was basically a year-long college party, was just work my days, get off, and drink every day I was off. Not that I did that consistently, but towards the end there, I was pretty much drinking every day I was off. Had a lot of fun, had a beer gut from it, but, you know, happens. But New Year's was off the chain. There was a bar like 3 blocks down the street from the main gate of the base. And it was mainly a lot of us Air Force cops that used to go there and drink. Not a lot of the other career fields from the base really drank there. And so the bar owner, I'll never know what his Korean name was, because we all called him Peter. That's what he told us to call him. That was his American name, Peter. But Peter, if you went to his bar consistently, he would, like, you would be friends with him, and he'll just give you free drinks. So I got very drunk that night, because he gave me a lot of free drinks, and he gave me a lot of other drinks that I paid for, obviously. But it was very busy, because, I mean, it was New Year's, so there's a whole bunch of people there. I have a tendency to like to buy drinks for people when I get drunk. Or at least I did. I'm a lot better about that now. I got the tab for my bill at the end of the night. $1,000. I spent $1,000 on combined on drink buying shots and drinks for people, because when the ball dropped, I told Peter I wanted to buy a round for the entire bar. And he goes, whole bar? I said, whole bar. He goes, whole bar. And I said, I want to buy a drink for everyone in this bar right now. And that was about $600. The other $400 was between me and some friends. But I spent $1,000 on New Year's Eve going into 2018.
Ah, jeez. Okay, that sounds so epic. Yet $1,000 is a lot of money that I don't really, I could see yourself, yes, buying for like all your friends stuff, but I can't see you just going all out for a bunch of random people. But you could, you honestly could. I'm gonna play it false.
Nope.
Oh, so you did. You did do it.
I really I really spent a grand. I'm not proud of that moment, but at the same time, I'm proud of how dumb I was. Like that. Like, that's
you're
one of those...
right about the fact that like you would like spend for all your friends. But I'm like, not an entire bar. That seems too ridiculous.
I was that drunk. That's the best New Year's I've ever had. I lied. That's the second best New Year's I've ever had. But that was, yeah, I was feeling it, and I drunkenly, like an idiot, was like, I want to buy a whole round for the bar. And Peter let me do it. Because he was not sober either. He was very drunk. He passed out that night.
Peter.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Now I have to come up with another story.
Yeah, come up with one.
Oh, no. I'm gonna get you good. I'm gonna use a childhood memory.
Oh.
One that you don't know about. But now let me think. What's a good childhood story that sounds pretty cool? Ah, fudge. You know what? I'll let you decide. San Diego or Hawaii?
San Diego.
Okay, cool. Good choice.
Coolest cities.
I'm just going to say this now. If Jessica, if you're listening, I will not bring up the soccer story. I promise you. Besides that, if you're not listening, then never mind. Don't pay attention to that last part. But as for a San Diego story, now I got to think of a San Diego story, because usually the one I go with is the soccer story, but I just promised I wouldn't do it this time. Let's see. San Diego. Ooh, I got one. So this was 2017, I believe. I had torn my ligaments playing football. And like right before we went to San Diego, and I was mad because like we were also planning going to Legoland.
Oh,
Legoland.
Yeah, Legoland.
Legoland. And I was just peeved because, well, I couldn't really do much. I was on one leg.
Yeah.
So we went on this hotel. I don't remember the name of the hotel, but we had our own private entrance to Legoland. And it was amazing because we just walked right in, click ticket, and dude opened it. There was no lines. There was no nothing. It was just hotel Legoland.
Uh-huh. See, I want to call BS, but at the same time, I don't, because Disneyland has the same thing with California Adventure. There's a hotel that's tied into California Adventure, and you can literally go right from the hotel into the park.
Yep.
So you might just be pulling a fast one on me and just doing that, but putting a Legoland face over it. But I'm not going to lie. Last time I went to Legoland was like, no bullshit, like 20 years ago. So
you should go.
I know. I'm 26 years old and I want to go still, because it's Legoland. I don't care what anyone says. Legos are for every age.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get that out of the way right now.
Also, but I need to go back with two legs this time.
Don't remember seeing any hotels down there right next to the park. But I'm going to call true on that one.
It is true.
Yes. 4-4.
It is true. I don't remember what. It wasn't a Legoland hotel. It was another hotel just to the side of Legoland. And it just, you walk down this like kind of, it looked like a hiker's path, but all you did was kind of go downhill and you were just in the back entrance of Legoland. Because the front was like all the way over there. I'm pointing to my left. Kyle's in front of me. this is an audio podcast, but it was just like we were like in the back of Legoland and we just like walked in. Like we were right there.
It's been too long since I've been. I got to go back down there.
I will join you because now I have two legs again.
Yeah. Yeah. For all of our listeners here, Dominic and I have a very interesting relationship where at some point a story in our friendship has to do with one of Dominic's legs being messed up.
It's only the right foot, people. It's just the right foot. It's because been fractured. It's been broken off.
We took a creative writing class together my senior year, your junior year of high school.
Yep.
And you messed your ankle up the day we had to do a project.
That's a true story. I win.
I didn't say that was a story. I mean, that's a story, but I didn't say I was using that story.
People thought I died.
Yeah.
Because I didn't tell anybody.
Yeah. Nobody knew what happened to you. Then you show up in a cast and everyone's like, what? You had your little scooter?
Yep. Good boy.
All right. So if we're tied 4-4, what can I throw at you to get you again? Man, I was really banking on that $1,000. By the way, I would like to state now for anybody questioning me, I am much more financially smart than that, I promise. Okay? I promise. servicemen are not known to be very financially stable.
Servicemen who's ready to drop a dime on Legoland.
I'm not gonna drop. Yeah, I mean $1,000 for Legoland. You know, who knows? Hmm? Now, Oh, no. Hold on. I gotta think of a good one here. Okay. Are you familiar with actors and actresses? Fairly.
Fairly.
Okay.
I know some.
Have you heard of the Blues Brothers?
Yeah, yeah.
You know John Belushi?
Yes.
You know his brother, Jim Belushi?
No.
Okay, well, he has a brother named Jim Belushi. Yeah. He was on sitcoms a number of years ago. My family and I used to fly out of Oakland on JetBlue down to Long Beach whenever we go down to Disneyland. Now, one of our flights, Jim Belushi was on that flight.
That's false.
No.
Dang it, you were smiling. I thought that was a fake poker face. Like you were giving up.
He was on that flight.
So you were smiling for good intentions that good memory instead of I'm laughing because I'm blind through my teeth.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, no, my dad was able to sneak a picture of him because he didn't want to, he clearly was trying to be incognito. You know, he didn't want to, cause any attention to be drawn to him. But, yeah, that was that's Jim Belushi. I'm like, what?
Ooh, I got a good story. This one's going to be my trick up my sleeve.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Okay, you might be able to get it because I might give a little bit too much detail or too little detail. But this is my first year in high school, so this was, 2010, 2011, around there.
Okay.
But a friend of mine from St. Dominic's, she had a quinceañera, and so a bunch of us were part of it, because there's, this big dance that we have to give to show. And the day of the quinceañera, we had so much time to kill, we decided to go to the mall. And we're all wearing suits and dresses and stuff, so the girls went on their way, and then us guys, we went to GameStop. But because we were all wearing suits, and the main dude who was dancing, Tucker, I had him on the show a couple weeks ago, he wore a white suit and the rest of us wearing proper black ducks or something. I can't remember correctly, but we formed a square around him to make him seem like he was someone important, and we just walked around the mall as if we were his security detail.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true.
I got my five. Yes.
Wait, dang it, I should have used my other story.
Well, the only one I was going to use for you, I was just trying to figure out how I was going to play the words on it. I was going to say one of my buddies had the American flag made into a suit for him.
That was true?
Yes, but it wasn't an actual American flag. It was just the flag pattern.
Oh, okay.
So it was a bunch of tiny little American flags all along his suit.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That was a good trick. My next story
I should have done that one.
The 13th floor in Hawaii.
I think you told me that one.
Nah, I just made it up right now.
Never mind. I don't think you told me that one.
No, it was going to be a false story. It was one of those things where, we were kids, and, we noticed in the elevator there's no 13th floor button.
Uh-huh.
So we got interested, and we walked the stairs and found the 13th floor, and we were too scared to do anything about it, so we just kept walking up to our floor.
Yeah. Okay. Good one, though. I really thought you were going to get me. I really thought you were going to win.
I probably should have used the 13th floor first.
Yeah, you would have stumped me on that one. That would have.
Because I thought about the Kinsey story too. Because you weren't there.
No, but I could see you doing that.
Dang it.
Yeah.
That is something we did do. I think I gave it away by too much detail. I think it depended on the detail because I got you with the coffin one because I spared the details.
You did. I was really trying to think of one of my mortuary stories. I just took one in and embellished it. Because, I had weird stuff happen on that job.
Didn't you have someone who was still alive?
No, that was my dad. Okay, so my dad was a deputy coroner. So he worked for the coroner's office for his sheriff's office in his county. And one of his partners got a call, went out to go pick up this woman. She was in the body bag. And as he's going to zip it up, she comes to and goes, "I'm not dead," and starts screaming, and my dad's coworker just about jumped out of his skin. Because that would scare the crap out of me, too, if I'm putting a body into a body bag and then someone screams,
"That was you,
I'm still alive."
Dad.
Yeah, no, it was my dad's coworker. But apparently she was very, 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 very drunk, and it was to the point where it lowered her heart rate enough for paramedics to think she was dead. Don't know who screwed up on that one, but yeah, that would have probably walked off the job. I would never come back if that was, yeah, no, that would have scared the crap out of me. And the, like, the weird thing is, like, you would think with someone working with a job like that where you go to mortuaries all the time, and I used to work nights, so you think creepy stories, like you're going to hear stuff in mortuaries and stuff, or you're going to see things. I didn't really ever have anything happen to me. I had a lot of paranormal stuff happen to me in the military. I mean, that is what it is, but I had a lot of weird paranormal stuff happen to me. I just do in general, but I had a lot of stuff happen in the military, but I didn't really have a whole lot happen. I had, like, with the mortuary stuff. I will say with the mortuary stuff, though, like, so people, when they are deceased, sometimes gases will be trapped in their body, so they'll fart, or they'll still have air trapped in their lungs, and they'll exhale. And there's been a couple times where I've had a body, like, burp or release air or fart, and it scares the crap out of me. I'm like, oh, nope, that's what that was. Okay, cool, we're good. But yeah.
I just want to wait for a moment where you hear a fart, and then someone scratches the butt. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah, like, huh, what? And I was trying to think of, like, a story that, like, I wasn't trying to disrespect that family or anything.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I was just trying to figure a way to embellish that.
You get me with it.
I did.
But no, you gave me an idea right now. Let's talk about paranormal, because I know you love cryptids and all that.
I love cryptids.
As this episode comes to an end, you're probably going to come back for season 3. So I think I'll tease season 3. You're going to be one of the first couple episodes, and we're going to talk that.
All right.
We're going to go in-depth, paranormal, cryptid.
I'm here for that. That's probably going to be like an hour-long episode, but I'm here. No, I'm kidding. No, I love cryptids. Isn't like, I'm not a skeptic or believer on that stuff. I mean,
Save it for next year.
It just intrigues me. That's all.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
I'm still planning this second season, but I know it's not going to be a full year. I'm going to say this now, but second season is probably going to end around September. That's my plan.
Okay.
I do a lot of different, like, more video stuff in the fall because I go outside more.
Right.
Than in the summer. But yeah, next year I'm bringing you back on, and we're talking cryptids.
Cryptid month or cryptid week. We got it.
Got it. So thank you so much for coming back on to the show.
Love being asked to do this. This is fun, man.
Yeah, no.
It's always nice to catch up.
It is. And then
hopefully by the next episode that I'm on, we're talking about our project.
Yes, and a new project.
And yeah, and then we'll be doing a new project after that.
No, but so be on the lookout in 6 months.
It's 6 to 9 months.
6 to 9 months.
6 to 9 months.
In the lookout.
Not 69 months, 6 to 9 months.
Nice.